Blog Talk Radio.
I just want people to get used to that, because we know that we want to talk to you, and we know also from listening.
Oh, no, we just want to talk.
You're right.
We've just decided that people are just tired of hearing about us, so we're just going to talk about stuff.
That's right. Listen, if you would hear, I see what happens if people don't come in for 10 minutes after our show starts because they don't want to hear how many things we do. So I've listened to all of you and I've seen what you want. And you know, like talk shows on TV or the radio, they don't really give accolades. They don't really tell you who they are. You kind of have to know. But on my show, because we have such talented people and talent that does this for a living, we're going to tell you at the end what we all do. And if you don't know, you can look all of us up, because if you know the show name and you know who's on it, you can always Google them and me, and we'll tell you at the end what we do, because I'm so itching to do it in the beginning, but I'm not going to. Susan, I have to tell you, and this is what I want everybody to listen to, we are going on hiatus for winter. I call it winter.
Yes, we are.
So, you know, I got to tell you what Brenda said yesterday. Brenda said, Bonnie, do you think you're going to be able to handle that? And
of course.
I don't know.
You're going to be out there on your boat. You're going to be arguing with your kids. You're going to be telling them how to live their life. You're going to be eating all that holiday food. I mean, what the heck?
Well, do you know what, Susan? I've already started doing that. You know, I told you what happened during Thanksgiving. I think everybody, I've turned into the Howard Stern of my house. But, you know, somebody said that, and maybe it was my dear, dear, trusted Queen Z, that when you elevate to different levels, you kind of get mean. I don't know. I don't think I'm mean, but I'm just really direct, and things bother me. I really don't know. I've got to get out of this, and that's why I'm hoping that a spirit's taking me away from the show so that I can readjust or do something, because I know when we come back, Susan, it will be 2016.
Not mean, honey. Not mean at all. I beg to differ. I believe that it's just being pissy.
Yeah. Well, honey, that's a nice word, and I'll take it.
Oh, listen, I have to make an announcement, because, you know, it's like every so often I suffer from potty mouth, and I'm going to admit that on air. I posted something on my Facebook, a cup that I thought was so cool, and it says I do not spew profanities. I enunciate them very effing clearly. I love that.
That is so cute. I love that. And you are just so adorable. It doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth. Actually, you're one of the people, I think we just talked about this today before we actually get into a subject, but I was saying that you really changed the face of how I look at life and life cycles and in metaphysics. And it's just so cool, because I said you were up there with Freud and Jung, and you said, oh yeah, put me up there with all the crazies. But actually, I was putting you up there with all the big wigs. So, you know, you are,
I appreciate that, because, you know, I mean, it's we were talking about that I had written an article for a magazine in the UK.
Psychic Insight Magazine.com. Jerry Humphries is the CEO. Please, everybody, get it. Susan has, and I, that's what's taking the words right out of your mouth.
But you're a regular contributor. I mean, it's like you are like the psychic on board in house. They write in and ask you questions. And you know, I have to admit, I'm so proud of you, because I know how you hate to write, and and you're doing a like fab job of it, and and very proud of you. And I wrote an article for Jerry this month, actually, about soul windows, explaining what soul windows are. So if our listeners would like to check that out, what is psychicinsightmagazine.com? Is that what it is?
Yes, it's free right now for everyone. They have, I mean, I'm going to tell you, Susan, we're amongst the really good, cool group, because He has a lot of interesting people, from herbologists to a color expert. And your you got to read. You know, we're not sitting here, you know, selling a magazine because it's free. So download it. But Susan's article in it's probably one of the longest ones he's ever had in it. And it explains soul windows. And the next would be the book, and we'll talk about it at the end. But, you know, I would almost encourage people, I know it's 53 pages, but if you can print off Susan's article, which is like 2 or 3 pages, I think that if you do that, you're going to really, really understand when we talk about soul windows. And it's something you're always going to go and revert back to. And then there's buying the book. So we'll talk about that at the end. But I loved your article. I think you did a fabulous job. And
Jerry says, when he asks you, please write, you know, would you write an article? And between 1,000 to 1,500 words. And I started writing it. And I wrote him back and I went, well, Jerry, I'm up to 2,893 words. Do you want it or not? he said, send it over. So, I mean, it's like once I get started, I say writing is something that it's like, okay, I'll do it type of thing. But once I get started, it's like it just kind of flows out, and I'm looking at the word count, and I'm going, uh-oh, and I couldn't cut anything out. It just kind of all flowed together. And he put the whole thing in the magazine. I was so pleased.
And I have to tell you, dear, who do you think channeled all those words?
Oh, yeah. It's like, that's why when you read the magazine, you went, Susan, I really like your article. Did you forget? Did you channel my gambling?
I am not going to take the credit for you anymore, but I want to. I'm going to say it forever.
You are
the best.
You've got a lot of credentials behind your name and a lot of things that you've done. I mean, how many shows? What are you approaching 400 now? You have put on air. And
you want to hear something, Susan? Yeah. You're not making me feel any better because, see, I was only supposed to be doing 1 year of shows before. I thought I'd be on Sirius Radio with Howard Stern. Well, not with him on a show, but and now I'm up to probably 400 waiting to say to Spirit, yeah, what are we doing? Making a book here? But no,
well,
I'm kidding.
Our definition of what we think is like, okay, I want to get out there and I want to reach the masses. And Spirit's definition sometimes is not the same.
Absolutely. As both of us have discovered, although I'm going to tell everybody, please, I mean, me aside, because I love my show and always will do it, but Susan is redefining really the phases of metaphysics. That book should be like selling off the shelves, because if you read the book, you'll understand. And again, I don't want to get into selling anything until the end of the show. And the only reason I'm saying selling is because it's a book that I personally have read 3 times. And actually, I can read 3 times. So I got to tell you, each time, if you think about soul windows, and you live soul windows. So when we give readings and when we talk to you about things, the first thing Susan and I want to know, if we don't already pick it up, which most of the time we do, is what soul window are you in? Because it helps us understand where your reality is in this 3D world. So I love that. And thank you, Susan, because without it, there would really be only the hormonal, for me, the hormonal changes, but now you've made it the metaphysical changes that actually coincide with what goes on in your body.
Well, you know, and I know, in terms of doing intuitive readings, that that if you're talking to a 25-year-old that is asking about love when is love going to come into the life. Their whole mapping and their whole energetics and definition of what love is entirely different if you're talking to a 58-year-old woman. And it's not about, a 58-year-old woman has history, a lot of history behind her. It's how we're mapped and how we're imprinted that a 58-year-old woman is feeling different about herself, looking for different things, definitely looking for a different type of relationship than a 25-year-old.
Oh, totally. And we're going to do one whole show on different soulmates because we can talk about each the age and what we look for in soulmates. But really what I wanted to talk about today, and I know you did too, is like the holidays, and we haven't even talked about it. You know, I always call them the winter holidays, the whole December through January, the middle of January to me is a holiday. So, you know, we have everybody celebrating everything different or the same. But really what I do think everybody celebrates is this is the time, and Susan, you and I talked about this, of family, friends, soul family, and what it means. Because I don't know why we all look at December up until about January 6th, because people, you know, go back to school, go back to work after the holidays, as all about family, all about soul friends and food and taking off and partying. I mean, why don't we do that all year round? But it is a really hard time and a really joyous time for many people. So, Susan, we were talking about soul families and friends and what the difference of all of it is and, you know, what holidays mean. What do holidays mean to you, girlfriend? And who do you celebrate them with?
Well, you know, the one statement that comes to mind when we talk about soul families and versus our human 3D dimensional families, that I must explain that we did choose, by the way. I can't begin to tell you how many times in my therapy practice, when they were dealing with family issues, parent issues, and who isn't dealing with, you know, my mother ruined me or my father ruined me, or, you know, it's like I could never please my father or whatever. And the baggage that we are definitely designed to not take responsibility for is that, you know, the funny statement is like, oh, no, there's no way. No way in hell that I'm going to buy the story that I chose my parents. I mean, literally the stork dropped me in the wrong family. And so I think of that.
I think my family thinks that the stork dropped them in the wrong kid.
Yeah, they're still looking for that stork. somewhere in well, both your parents are at a home on the other side, so yes. I'm sure that they have found that stork by now and has choked the crap out of it. So,
along with your family up there.
Oh my God, yeah. I'm sure that my family too thinks that it's like, okay, on both sides, my mother and my father, because I really never felt like I fit in on either one. And it's like, I mean, I love my family dearly. And,
yes.
You know, of course, two of my relatives, your mother and daughter, psychic teen, Annabelle.
Yeah.
And my brother, they are my first and second cousins. And I love them dearly, but it's like, I mean, I'm just kind of like a odd bird, just traveling my own way. And I've always been that way. But your soul family basically is, and soul families are in clusters. Because, you know, there's millions of souls out there. And soul families are in clusters that we come together in order to create this virtual reality experience.
But why do we do that, Susan? I mean, I know and you know, but I want to put it out on the air. Why do we actually come down to create a virtual reality game when we can buy one on Nintendo?
I think that that's why everybody's so fascinated with the virtual reality games. Is it because you feel like you're there, but actually it's not real? It's not your real life, and that's exactly what we're doing. You know, the trilogy, The Matrix. I mean, the Coen brothers definitely were tapped by higher self, because it really is it's sci-fi and far out there with the whole computerized thing, but that really is what we're living, because none of this is real in terms of where our soul is concerned. Our soul puts on a life off and on like a coat, and to us it's like, you know, we think, oh my God, you know, the that person's going through such a hard time and they've had such a sad life. We never really understand what the big picture is in anybody's soul journey. And there are some telltale signs, like in your family, that you have the uncle that everyone says, you know, don't stay in the room alone with them, type of thing. And then you have the father, or, you know, the cold mother, or the abandonment, or, you know, or you have, you know, the smothering mother, or the whatever it is. It's like I always make a definition when someone asks me about their children, about whether it's a matriarchal child or a patriarchal child. A patriarchal child, of course, is mapped and genetically coded by the father. And that's where the closest tie is. And then the matriarchal child is with the mother. But it is not the who you are mapped to, close to. Like being a patriarchal child is that they teach you in their genetics and that coding on the lessons of love, okay?
Yeah.
Of opening part of loving self, of changing your definition of how you love someone. And the other parent who you are not imprinted with, they are usually the one that has come into your soul arena to help you grow spiritually. So it is not the one that you are mapped to. They more or less come in as a heart support team in terms of teaching you to love yourself unconditionally, and to see yourself, to be not attached to the good opinion of others, let go of codependence, that you are on this journey by yourself, going through this journey, growing and learning on your own, but they are only there for support. The other parent is, and whoever else is in your soul family, they are there to help you become enlightened. They are your challenges. They push your buttons. They help you see your weaknesses, help you with your strengths. So it's an interesting concept. You know, we always think, oh, well, the one that you're imprinted with is that, you know, that's the one, you know, they're there for you, and that's the one that's going to be teaching you the most. But it's contrary. And like Wayne Dyer, my sweet man, who is now on the other side, once said that bless every Napoleon and tyrant that comes into your life, because they are the very ones in your soul family that is here to help you grow.
Wow. You know what? I don't know how we got off on this subject, but that's good, because I was talking about holiday peeps. But I have to tell you, Susan, you just taught me, and well, actually, I know this from you, but I always said that, you know, I'm a patriarchal child, and I think you are too, and that as much as you could be, but that my dad taught me unconditional love, but really my mother, who I have such guilt about, really taught me what not to be in a mother, and then not that when I realized that I what not to be was ridiculous because I never gave her a chance, she showed me the way that I should be. So it's really interesting that you said that. I know that makes no sense, and I use myself, but it is a really cool concept, and I absolutely agree with you, and so love to look at it that way. But let's talk really quickly. I do have someone on the line that does want to talk to you. You do know her. So, and I don't know if she just called the listener. She didn't, but I'm going to let her talk because she could probably add to the conversation. But I want to talk about holidays, because when people are here, I just want everybody that is going to like download the show or listen to understand that, you know, the holidays are coming up. We do have soul family. We have soul family that could be friends. We have soul family that could be pets. We have soul family that could be family. We have soul family that could be, some people love rocks.
Co-worker, your worst enemy. Yeah. So the person that you like, oh, my God, I you're not supposed to hate, but it does come out of your our mouths every once in a while. It's like, oh, my God, I just can't stand that woman. She's your soul family.
Yes. So I want everybody to know that the holidays are a little challenging for people who haven't resolved or are learning different lessons here. For me and a lot of people, your Norman Rockwell winter holidays are going to start to take effect. Everybody's starting to shop and everybody's starting to go to parties. Believe it or not, it's only the 3rd of December. But it's going to go pretty quickly, Susan, and I know we're off next week.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, you know, I came from such a small, didn't really have any close family ties growing up, and I never really got to experience what that, oh, my God, the family's getting together, you know, what's going to happen now, until I married my ex-husband, who came from a family of 7. And every Christmas and Thanksgiving and, you know, the brothers and sisters would show up with their wives and girlfriends and everything. Inevitably, there was some kind of drama that, you know, somebody had an opinion to say about how someone was not living their life on board. And I was just always amazed at watching the dynamics and there was never a holiday where somebody wasn't mad at somebody else. And I went, okay.
That wasn't my family because actually that was Art's family, not mine. But there's our families who really try, and I know you'll notice that when they try to get together for holidays, they put their best foot forward. Sometimes they slip, but usually around this time, even people who don't get along or don't see the good in everything start to feel like, oh, it's festive, there's something in the air, there's an electricity, and we should all get along. So I know for the vast majority that we all try that, and then for some, we don't have anybody around, and we create family, and that's what kind of we wanted to share. We create our family.
Yeah, because when I was in my 20s, I really didn't have – I wasn't really raised by my mother or my father. I spent most of my time with either relatives or Catholic private boarding school. Yes, I am one of those skirted Catholic girls that are so messed up for the rest of their lives, yes. And
you know what they say about those Catholic girls now, Susan.
In my 20s, that was true.
I know. I have my best friend's Catholic, and she came from that. Yes. We love all religions, though.
Yeah, my friends became my family, and I had like 40 of my nearest and dearest closest family friends, and we spent holidays together. I mean, and even though they had, you know, some of them had families, we all considered ourselves. I think maybe the drugs might have had something to do with it, though, too. We were close, like, you know, brothers and sisters and everything, and that lasted for several years, and it was a true family bonding. And I noticed that, and I see that with my daughter also.
Absolutely.
Her friends, because, I mean, she went to Thailand with a group of 40 people, and they stayed 3 weeks. And these people she's known since college, and for 10, 15, 20 years. And because I wasn't the greatest mother, she kind of had a childhood. Yes, as when she was younger, she created that same scenario that I created, because she was basically raised with 40 of my nearest and dearest friends, you know, and so
that's so cool, Susan. I can tell you, and then let's go back to, you know, some metaphysics here, but I can tell you that I can see in other people versus myself, but absolutely your daughter does the same thing. But which is really nice is the closeness. The one thing that both of you have is that you both want to be attached to each other. And I love that. And so I think that I see one generation of your daughter, one generation of you, and the bridge between that is the loving bond that both of you have. So, and you know, I had family all the time, and my kids don't have 40 close friends or do anything like that. But then I look at what I did, and they're doing the same thing. I kind of really, really clung on to my father.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, they become mirror images. But the cool thing about it is that as you spiritually grow and awaken, you break karma. And that's what I did in my family. I had four generations of women who abandoned their children, multi-marriages. Well, maybe I haven't kicked that one.
I don't know. There's not many on earth that do that anymore anyway. But
yeah, I know. And,
I'm one of them, but you're not. But more of my friends aren't either.
Yeah. And they were alcoholics and you know, with abusive husbands, and what I did is that I became spiritually aware. I taught my daughter something different, and my daughter does not have that kind of relationship. She's very well aware of who she is and what she's about and what kind of relationship she has with her mate. And when you spiritually grow, like every third or fourth generation, a soul will come into a soul family and a lineage and say, we need to break this pattern. And because I stopped the drugs, healed my relationship with my daughter, got my life together, I taught her something different, but also cleared the karma back from my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother. So they're wherever they are, if they're reincarnated or still in light, their karma has changed also. So, I mean, anytime we make a spiritual awakening and change our imprints, what happens is that we affect our whole soul family because of that.
I love
Everyone
that.
Rises together. No one gets left behind.
I love that, Susan. I am so happy because I don't know what I don't know what I enlightened my soul family about, but I hope I brought them all wonderful, happy peace and enlightenment. But there's something I wanted to share, and I now, I was listening to you so intently, it just left my brain. But it was about this is what I want to ask you, because I asked, and I know I'm discombobulated here, but I did ask it yesterday, and we started because of the day before, which was Jerry. We talked about soul pets and pets, because so many of us have pets or had pets, and some people on Earth, especially now, with so many people being not able to connect emotionally all the time with people, they connect with their pets. Some people who have called the show has often said that their pets mean more to them than meeting anybody
Yeah.
or anybody. What do you
Oh,
think,
they are
Susan?
gifts. They're our furry children. I mean, they're. I mean, there are some stories that, pets are so psychically in tune and
Yeah.
aware of us, and they are given to us to show us what true unconditional love
Love
is.
is.
Yes.
I know. But do you, this is where I want to ask
And I
because.
know you're trying to learn that because you've killed a few, but you're getting it. You're getting it.
I don't know if I'm getting it, honey. I just have cleared my
Not
karma of
intentionally,
having
I
any
know, not
pets.
intentionally.
I know I didn't kill them intentionally. But it's so funny because, and I'll give you an example. But yes, I do, I'm Chili is my last pet, and my husband wanted Chili, and she's kind of attached to me now. But I don't want any pets because I just don't know how to. I can love myself unconditionally. It's all I'm gonna say. So I love pets. I love seeing them. I love having to look at them. But unfortunately, when they come into my circle, I guess I just don't know how to take care of them. But I do love them. I would love a greyhound, but I love them from afar. So what I do want to ask you, Susan, about
It's probably a safer thing for them. I mean,
right.
poor
Well.
Chili. I talk to Chili on Skype all the time, your little psychic dog, and it's like, thank God she's watching out for you.
Well, I don't know. She's not happy at the moment, but you're right. I mean, I love Chili, and Chili is, but I think poor Chili got the worse end of the stick than I did, but because she's got me, and I just can't get it together with pets. But I've got to tell you that I want to know what you think of this, and then I'm going to tell you a story and ask you why. And before you answer this, we all are attached to certain kinds of pets. And I watched this program about this, and that's what I brought up yesterday. Some people are cat people, some people are dog people, some people are monkey people, some people are wild game people, some people
Are
are.
you are you are you like in insulting our listening audience out here, or are making
No,
a point?
I'm making a point. Some people want iguanas as pets and fish as pets. I could never see that. But, okay, here's a good example that I gave it yesterday. But, when before Lauren and this kid, Mike, stopped seeing each other, he told Lauren he wanted to get an iguana for a pet. And my daughter's a cat person and a dog person. And she laughed and she says, "What is the iguana gonna do for you? Like, what are you going to do? Sleep with it?" And I thought that was so funny. But when I asked Ron Cole, and he's going to go over this on the new year, is certain signs in the zodiac are have an affinity to certain types of pets, bird people, cat people. Isn't that?
Really?
Yes. And
Oh,
so
I am like so a cat person. I've always
yeah,
been a cat
you
person.
are. So you probably were a cat. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because then we had Jerry on yesterday, and he said that all souls, whether you're a dog, a cat, a bird, a mouse, or whatever, when they go and leave the earth plane, they are souls. They're not animals, and we are not human, and we leave the earth plane, and we are souls. So when they come down as animals, it could be me, it could be you. It's just what we choose to come down as. How do you feel about that statement?
Can you say that statement again? I'm in chat and
Oh.
I drifted. I'm sorry. I figured somebody should be in chat, so I'm trying to do both, you know. And I'm not the greatest multitasker, and I'm trying to answer a question from somebody in chat, and so I'm trying to go into that zone, listening to you. And so what was the question again?
Well, I'll answer it, but, you know, we can take questions from chat. If you want to read a question that you're getting from chat and answer it, you can actually do that.
Okay, I have a question for you I'm trying to answer. This is from, I'm just going to give her a first initial, L. And what she's asking is that she's been in a relationship for 20-plus years, and she just told him that how she really felt, and she wanted to know if it was going to change. And I said, well, that he was surprised, but they would say closer than friends, but not getting closer to a relationship we're looking for. And what she wants to know is that, will that ever happen, and should I hang in there? So to you, Bonnie, and I'm assuming she's listening also, so because that's I was trying to answer. And so I'm going
to
pass.
Well, you need to answer that, because you are in the middle of it, and I'll then answer too. But Lexi, Susan's going to answer that question for you. So Susan, what do you think?
Go right back to me. Okay.
Because you don't want to hear my answer first.
So what was your question that you asked me? Can you remember?
Okay, my question was. But you know, don't you want to answer Lexi's? Or are you answering it in chat?
I'll answer your question first, and I'll answer Lexi.
Okay. So what my question is to you, we've already discussed it, so I want to know what your opinion is. What Jerry says is, we all choose what we come down here as. So when we leave the earth plane, we are all souls. Whether you're a monkey, an iguana, a cat, a dog, a person, and we all go back to our soul family. So what they're saying is, you know, some people think, oh, there's a cat heaven or a dog heaven or this heaven or that heaven. What he says is, no, we're all the same, but it's what we choose to, what role we choose to come down as. So how do you feel about that statement?
Well, I've mentioned this before, and I, as I have said, that this is my own belief. It's not anything that I read anywhere or picked up from someone. This is just something that I instinctively feel to be right. We are in our soul experience. It became clear to me actually when I was like out in nature, and in my backyard, and the cats were on the front porch, and I was just feeling this connection, and I thought, why would a soul not want to experience all of it on this dimension? I mean, not just being a human being, but all of it. And which is part of what we're trying to do, is connect with everything. That everything is, there's nothing inanimate in this dimension, including your car, your home, your TV. You talk to your car, talk to your home. It's nothing is inanimate. And I thought, well, if a soul is here to experience, then it would make sense to me that it would want to experience that existence also. And my theory about this is that a soul makes a choice at some point in the millions of lifetimes that it does, to fragment out its energy and become maybe part of all living green, trees, plants, and everything, to experience what that is. The same thing with animals, that in a lifetime that it fragments out and becomes to experience what all animal life is. And I mean all animal life, not just pets or dogs or cats or whatever.
Or pigs or cows.
Yeah, I mean all animal life in whatever
yes.
form that may be. And then after it has that experience of and all of that is, you know, feeling the mistreatment of animals, the hunting of animals, you know, the animals that we use for food, that when it the soul comes back into the light again, it has an awareness that there is an intelligence there, that their trees have an intelligence. They exist, they're aware, they respond. All animals feel, think, and have emotions. I don't care what form it is. And
I just don't want an iguana, but okay. But you know what? I used to say, Susan, fish cry too, because my husband hunts them. I mean, you know, he doesn't hunt them. He's a fisherman. Now, he does thank them for giving their life for him to be able to eat, but I don't like that. And if I could, I would be a vegetarian, but then plants cry too, so I can't figure it out. But you're right. I agree with you. I think that we all are, I believe that, because I can look at my pet, and I know you could too, and say, I know that one time I looked at him and I swear I saw my dad's eyes in it. So not that he is my dad, because my dad was alive when I had Chili, but just that I know if I could see that, then the soul is of all soul. That's how I feel about pets. So we kind of feel like Jerry does.
Well, I mean, doesn't that kind of make sense? I mean, if you're here to experience everything, and everything is one. We're all one with this great light and energy and intelligence, that we would also want to experience what it would be to be in animal form and in plant form. So it dawned on me, and I went, you know, well, how would you do that? Because it's not like that. You can have a conversation with a tree, although they're, you know, you do have some form, like they have dog whisperers and, you know.
Yeah, I think he looks like a dog, doesn't he? I mean, I looked at it's Caesar Milan, and I looked at him and thought, if I didn't know he was a dog whisperer, I would have known he was whispering to dogs.
I always say that your pets look like you anyway, so I don't know about that. Yeah. So,
I have to take, I have two callers, Susan, I'm going to have to take really quick, then we can start chatting again. But I do want to tell you, organic, I would have ran out of there too. And I know Susan answered you. It's amazing what chat shares, and I really appreciate it. I do always say that I'll take any chat questions, and I'll read them on air if you'd like us to. So, you know, organic, if you want Susan or I to read that, I can. If not, we can just keep it in chat. But Susan, I'm going to go to the phone lines. I'm going to ask the first person is 928. You are on with Susan and Bonnie, and what do you have to add to this convo? Hi.
Yes, hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
It's Athena.
Hi, Athena. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
How can you add to this conversation? Tell us what you think about pets and soul pets and what you feel they are here on Earth to us.
I do believe they have souls.
Mm-hmm.
And in ways, like, they're here to, like, help us, maybe, like, to cope with certain things. Because I know that they're very intuitive when you're not feeling well and stuff.
Absolutely. And so do you feel that when you have a pet that it gives you unconditional, do you get unconditional love feeling?
Yeah, like loyalty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does that teach you anything because you have one?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so how can we help you today, Athena?
I have a birthday coming up next week, and I'm just wondering what, I guess, my life path, like, am I on the right one, or?
that is a pretty big question, Susan. What do you think?
Yeah, that you're on your right life. Can you give me your name again, please?
Athena.
And how old are you?
Athena?
I'm
Not Alcina, not Athena, the goddess of love, but Alcina, almost the goddess
Alcina.
Of love.
Alcina, okay, okay. Well, let me ask you this, okay? I'm going to ask you a question in answer to this big general question, because I want to read your vibrations. What definition and what kind of vision do you have of what you think your life path should be?
Well, I'm sort of certain, like, right now that I am on the right life path, but it's just I've always kind of had a very hard time choosing a career or really finding out what it is I want it to do.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 27. I'll be turning 28.
You're how old?
27.
27? Okay. Uh-huh. And what is it that you do for a career?
Right now, I'm just kind of I'm not doing anything. I'm just, like, at home. And I wanted to start school again, but it's sort of, I have to get, to make sure everything's okay first before I go back to school.
Okay. Well, the first thing, when you say on your life path, the first thing that I picked up about you is that you have this burning fire in the belly that you want to make a difference. Okay? Don't touch me. Go see fun. that you want to make
your
a difference. Okay?
Yeah.
And you want to make a difference in terms of giving value to people's life and even animals also, all right? And when you hit 28 or 29, okay, you're going to know what you want to do, all right? You're going to have to go to school. I mean, there's no way around it. I don't know whether it's going to be a veterinarian, a nurse, or I'm not really sure because you're like, they're showing me a scale, 50-50. You know, you have such a beautiful heart connection, and even children come into that play. It's like you fall into that category of just what we spoke of, is that you truly understand that there is literally everything has value in this life, and that they have the potential of being more than you want to take something raw and you want to make it into a fine diamond. Okay, that's what I pick up about what your soul is trying to do in this life. Have I ever opened your Akashic records?
Yes, you did, actually.
Okay, and because it feels like that this is like kind of right on track with it, and what I'm hearing is that within the next year or two, as you're moving towards your 30th year, okay, right now, because you've done so much of this and that and this, all being of service and all healing the heart and whatever, you haven't quite made up your mind where it is that you want to go. Okay, but whatever it is, this is something that you're just going to have to just kind of accept that you're going to have to go to school. And I'm feeling that it is a tech school, not college. But when that happens, it'll be like, that's what I want. That's what I want to do. And oh shit, it's like, I'm gonna have to go to school. It's not a long and extensive school to get you in, but what I do see is that once you get into that career, you're going to do more schooling, and then more schooling, and then more schooling. And the thing is that you don't like school, so it's like I said,
I
don't
do.
Really.
I need to know that what I'm going to school for is something that I really want to do, because I've gone to school for certain things, but I realized it wasn't something I wanted to do.
Exactly. And when I say you don't like school, I mean you don't like traditional school. Okay? But that's why I'm saying that when you do, it's going to be like a tech hands-on, like you're in it right away. You know, it's not about like that you're sitting there for 2 years reading books type of thing. And you're going to get, once this, you make up your mind, it'll be about you being very proactive, about looking for financial help, grants, financial assistance. There's going to be assistance coming out of the blue that you never even thought of, that like maybe even a friend or a relative say, you know, if you want to do this, so I'll help you. You know, I'll help you do. But you have to get the passion behind it. What I hear from you is that you want to do all of this, but I don't hear the passion. You haven't found that yet. So it's like once that passion comes, God help us all.
Yeah. Get a fire will be lit. That'll be the end.
That's what they call the fire and the toy.
Yes. Yeah. So you've got a little while, Athena. You're Althea, you're still really young, even though you think you're not. And I feel like you...
I feel like it's really crazy, because what I'm seeing is a way station. And I don't know what your connotation of a way station is, but it's kind of you're weighing this and weighing that, and you're in the middle and you're not doing anything. You're kind of just sitting there. So I feel like when that way station tips and you got to get off one way or the other, because I see what Susan sees, I either feel it's a tech school for veterinary, which would then lead you to finding someone who, where you're working, will put you through school again, because veterinary tech school is only 2 years, or you're going to go the other way, because I have your grandmother or someone like a grandmother here. And what she's showing me, she's like in a one. I don't think she did this, or maybe she did, but she's showing me a white nursing uniform. Because I'm a nurse, so I know them. And she's just wrapping her big arms around me. So what that means to me is she's trying to tell you that it might be people or children that you're going to go to nursing school. But nursing school is 2 years also, but you can't work really as a nurse unless you're going to get your bachelor's degree anymore. But if you go to nursing school, you bridge the gap after, so you actually can work, and then they pay for you to go back to school. So, and you can go at any length of time that you want, because that way they're paying and not you. They'll actually pay your bill once you get into the hospital. And I see something like that, even like a children's hospital.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like that if you, like, we'll help you with your school if you make a commitment to work for us, blah, 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 for 2 years type of thing. And that's what I'm seeing here. And it's like you have to really stay open to asking your higher self to show you on what path and what direction that will be right for you. Because what I feel so much in your energy is that you figure out that you think that you have to figure this out all by yourself. And you're not asking for that connection, that assistance. We're in a new energy, and a new energy is about oneness, about everyone helping each other. And that's when you pray. It's not like, how do I figure this out, or how can I do this? It's like, bring to me the people and the circumstances to open the doors to help me make this happen. And that's the approach that you want to want where you're making these career choices.
Okay.
Okay, Susan, I have an emergency. I'm going to put Kelly. I'm going to put Kelly on to speak with you so she can keep the show going. Kelly.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Kelly.
Why don't you talk to Susan? I'll be right back, honey.
Alrighty, sounds good.
Her emergency is like if you hear the toilet flushing, we'll know.
That works. Well, I actually had a question, and it's about my daughter. It's about my 15-year-old. She has had some health things come up recently, and we've had some. I've talked with some people, you know, about different things. But her question that she wanted me to ask you was, what is there in her history, like in her past lives, you know, and things like this? Because I've talked with, you know, different guests, Ivani, on the show this week, and it's kind of come down to there's like this ganglion, you know, whatever, some circulatory problems, things, and it's like, and I know we're going to go to the chiropractor on Monday. But she has things that goes on with her neck. She has things that goes on with her jaw. But when she was born, when she was a baby, she had a birthmark. And I know, well, she's got two of them, actually. She's got this one on her forehead. It's kind of faded with time, so you can't really see it unless she really works out, you know, in sports and stuff. And then you can, you know, still see this kind of V outline. But it looked like somebody had shoved a spear in her head, and then she's got the corresponding small birthmark, like a, you know, like a small roundish one, oval shaped one, on the back of her neck. So it looked like in her previous incarnation she was like speared through the head, and that's what caused her to die. And she says, I kind of want to know about this. And she said, I wonder if this is anything to do with, like, you know, her current, like, dyslexia. She's kind of having some issues of faint-headedness, you know, or, you know, when she's exerting herself, she's on a basketball team, when they're doing certain things at certain times, it's like she feels like she's going to pass out. She actually has kind of like passed out hanging on the bar at home, you know, and taking a fall and things like that. So just kind of wanted to see, you know, what she had to say about her past or things like that, you know, that might be affecting what she's doing now.
What was the birthmark that she has on her forehead? I mean, or the mark, and then the birthmark on the back of her neck.
Right. It was shaped like a spear. It's like it comes between her eyebrows. I mean, it's like there's a point between her eyebrows. It kind of goes up a little bit to where it's about maybe, oh, I don't know, an inch and a half or so wide, and then it tapers back up. You know, so it looks like the outline of what you think of a Native American spear would look like. Okay, and then on the back, it's like it's kind of a little, you know, like an oval shape at the base of her neck. And I was like, it looked like, you know,
Are you saying spear? Spear, a Native
S-P-E-A-R,
American?
Like a spear, S-P-E-A-R, yeah.
Like a spear. Oh, okay, okay.
Like a spearhead, right.
Are you saying like an arrowhead? Is that what you're saying?
Right. It's a lot bigger. It would be like, you know, they had bigger things that they had on their lances, like, you know, that would be like they take on the buffalo hunts. It's like, you know, it's a lot bigger type of a spearhead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And that's what the impression and the mark looks like. That's, I mean, you know, we kind of did some schematics and drew some stuff, you know, on the side and stuff. And I said, if it did like this, you know, here's how it would look if it went through your head like this. And it's like, I said I'm pretty sure that that's probably, you know, in your previous life, because I've heard that, you know, birthmarks a lot of times is the way you die in a previous life. If you come through, you know, with a mark, it's like chances are that's was the cause of your demise in the previous incarnation.
Hey,
so,
Susan and Kelly, I have someone that's on the line that I know you'll want to hear from. Hey, Brenda.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Beta.
Hi, Susan. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hi. Tell me. I know that you're talking, Kelly, and I know you're going to get an answer from Susan, but Beta's here, too. So, Brenda, listen.
Now we're going to put Beta on the spot, too. Okay, I'm going to
Brenda can ask a question to you, Susan, which would be interesting. You got a question for her, Brenda?
Well, Kelly can, she can answer Kelly, and then I'll go.
Okay, and you can answer Kelly, too. So, all right, go ahead. Sorry I interrupted. I have an emergency, and I don't know that I can stay. I'm going to leave all of you on.
Okay. You know, the interesting thing is that you keep on talking about this mark about being like a Native American arrow spear kind of thing.
Something earlier. I mean, it could be something from, you know, like the, I'll say the Byzantine armies or, you know, something like that. It's like, I don't know what her last
That's what it looks like to you. And you said that she's got some muscular problems and support problems.
Yeah, it's like I'd actually talked with Brenda about this, and it's like, and what they were getting was there was like this constriction on the left side of her body, like, you know, in her neck. It's like, you know, something with the ganglion, something or other. And it's like, and I know it, chiropractic helps, you know, but they said it was like something, you know, because Brenda and Bonnie were both talking about this. It's something that occurred, you know, from birth. She's had it since birth. It wasn't anything that's, you know, come on. It's, you know, Bonnie gets it as something familial. I'm like, okay. But, you know, I've been kind of looking at it in the sense of what can we do to ameliorate it or to help it, you know, like not be there. And it's like, and I know, you know, short of going to a neurosurgeon because we don't really have that kind of insurance, like right now, not that I can't get it, you know, but yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure. Okay. Because here's what I'm hearing. And Bonnie or Beta can will support this, that's fine. If you don't, on you.
Did you hear that, Brenda? Because I don't remember telling Kelly any of that. I thought it was something like Tina and something else. And I know you said that it was.
Well, we're talking to Queen Z here, so you know, you know how it goes. Kelly, here's what I'm hearing is that I know it you're approaching it as a wound, okay? And it was definitely something that wasn't done, I don't want to say incorrectly at birth, but it was kind of like almost like the way that she was laying when in womb. But this is a portal, okay? This is not a wound, all right?
Okay.
And don't touch me, jeez. It's like this portal is what she's still connected to, and it has to do with past lives, yes, but it also has to do with this portal is when she wasn't encumbered with such a heavy body, all right?
Right.
And so what she needs to have done, I'm going to take that word out, need. What she should have done is that I believe that if she has Reiki or energetic work done on her head area or even there's a modality, it's not Reiki, where they work right on the upper part of your head. My girlfriend, you should do
like
it.
It's like phrenology. It's like it's something with the it's like
they have your hands right under your cranial.
Sacral cranial, there we go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Because she needs this portal closed, all right?
Okay.
And now, how old is she?
She's 15. She'll be 16 in January.
Okay, you see, she hit the soul window where all of a sudden she realized that it's her life, okay, and that she created wrote this soul thing. But what she's also in womb, she had such a clear memory of having a much much lighter weight body, so. Body that she is now in is much, much heavier than she's used to dealing with. And I think that if you close the portal, it will stop that the imprints that are still so profoundly in there that says, oh, my God, this is like a 1,000-ton weight suit. I can't do this. I can't do
right.
this. Yeah. And so if you look for some cranial work or some brachy work and have them work on the back area of her skull and also on her third eye, which is where the real issue lies. And and close the portal. That's
okay.
what I'm hearing. Close the portal.
Close the portal.
Would anybody like to jump in and add to that?
Well, I think, Brenda, you said she had something at the base of her neck. So, I mean, I, you know, remember yesterday you said it's kind of like open. There's an open. What's funny is you said she had like an open hole at the back of her neck over. And so that's exactly what Susan described, only she's describing it as a porthole, which, by the way, Kelly, you are a Reiki master.
I know.
You could probably do this.
So,
not you. Not you.
Not me.
Not me.
I can't do it. Not I hate
you.
Right. Now you
yes.
make it sound like
not you. You not you're not the one to do it because your energy is. I mean, being a Reiki, I'm a Reiki master myself. I know you've got the expertise and you've got the power to do it, but not you.
Well,
not
you know,
me.
Jerry
okay.
does it, so you could ask Jerry. I don't know if you have. I don't know if it's hands
Brenda
on.
Brenda does Reiki also.
Brenda.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And
wait
you know
a minute.
What? You guys really kind of hit the nail on the head there with the past life, because I think it goes back farther than even the Indians. When you said sphere,
yeah.
it kind of put a picture in my head of like way yeah. back when they had spears. And I think it's something
stuff, yeah.
that she's carried over lifetime to lifetime. So
mm-hmm.
what Susan's on to here is a good thing to stop it so that she doesn't carry it on into the next
again.
Lifetime.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, I'm going to let – I'm going to put you – I'm going to just leave you
on.
Oh,
it's 11:11 on the clock. It's 11:11, new portals. Ha-ha.
Woo-hoo! Thank goodness for you, Queen Z. But I think you have your answer, Kelly, which is a whole lot better and cheaper than doing anything except for Reiki and that kind of stuff. So, you know, but still keep an eye on it. You know, I'm Eastern Western girl, so just do it all.
Right.
Well, and you're going to the chiropractor, too, so I think that's a good thing, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but this is
all right.
this is an energetic kind of a someone that can tap into the higher realm of that kind of connection that move that has the ability to flip over into the dimension where this portal remains open.
Ooh, okay. I love this, Kelly. This is really interesting.
Yeah. Well, see, there is a chiropractor. It's like I don't know if there's. I haven't checked in a long time. It's like there was somebody up in Buffalo, Wyoming, and she, in addition to being a chiropractor, was also like. I mean, she did Reiki. She did like 26 different kinds of energetic things and all kinds of stuff. She's very a very amazing person. And it's like I haven't contacted her yet since we've been back in the state because it's like kind of lost track of that. But it's like. It would be, if there's energy work to be done, it would probably be her because the chiropractor that we go to is really, really, really good. But I don't know energy-wise how connected he is that way.
Hey,
but
Kelly,
something
else I heard when Susan was talking is I kept hearing shaman. And when you were talking about that lady up there, I wonder if she has some shamanistic healing abilities or something because I feel good with whoever that is.
Yeah, I mean, she did some stuff with me I went to sleep one night and I woke up and I'd taken such a hard hit at night when I was asleep that, I mean, not from anything physical, it was like an energetic hit, that my ribs were literally, one was folded over on the other one. It's like my one rib head had popped out, and it's like the other rib was folded under it. When I finally got up to her, she went, wow. And so she said, this is beyond, physical. She said, "You didn't just do this laying in your bed." I was like, "Yeah, I know."
you better cut that interdimensional sex out, Kelly. I'm telling you.
Oh no, it wasn't that. Believe me, it was more. It was a bottle. It's like it was a battle field that night.
Oh my gosh! I love you, Kelly. I love you, Kelly. I got to hear Brenda's question. So I'm going to leave you on. But Brenda, you have Susan and me to tell you something. So I can't believe this is like so fabulous. So ask Susan your question.
Well, I don't know what to ask. So I'll ask this. So I'm considering.
Oh, you know I'm going to lie to you. So go ahead.
What's that? What did you say?
You know I'm going to lie to you, so go ahead.
I'm thinking about going to through a course, and it's expensive though, and I just don't know if that's where my abilities are, if it's going to enhance my abilities some, or if it's something that I should just not do because it's so expensive. And where do you think?
Can you tell me what
think,
kind of course this is? Is
yeah,
this like a sex
say, yeah.
course or a psychic
yeah.
course? Or
yeah,
like
it's.
You know.
Well,
is it a dolphin
really,
healing?
Yeah. What course is it?
It's not really a psychic course. I don't even know exactly what it is. It's I do know what it is, but I don't know what it is. It's sort of like a. It takes you into different, you know, takes you higher so that you can think differently and
honey, you
in
can
your
just
own
buy some
life
marijuana
for other
do that.
People, helping
what do you mean
other
higher?
People. What's that?
I said you can just buy some marijuana to do that. What do you mean higher?
Hey,
wait a minute,
I had to move to California for that.
Right. Wait.
Please,
Brenda.
We are in California, so I can say that, folks. Okay.
Yes, please don't take it if you're in any other state that isn't. But let me ask you a question, Brenda. Is it something that you're going to get at a degree and will help you at work, or it's something you're trying to do metaphysically? Because there's a big
metaphysical.
Difference.
It's metaphysical.
Okay. Well, you know, Susan and I just had this discussion. But go ahead, Susan. You go ahead and answer.
Okay. No.
No.
No,
okay.
I know what you're trying to accomplish. How old are you now? Yeah, I know you're an old woman now. How
old
are you?
I'm 58.
Oh,
right.
My God. Oh, my God.
Am I 58?
You have to understand that Beta, Brenda, and I grew up together, and she used to watch me get ready for dates at the mirror. When I was like 15, what were you like 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, something like that, and this is not possible. Okay, so here's what I'm hearing, and okay, I'm just gonna say this. All right,
uh-huh.
Okay, and I know, don't do this because it's not necessary. Everything that you're looking for when Annabelle goes home, it's all going to come flooding to you so fast, you know, won't even know what to do with it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, and you know she's gonna, you know, so you're just gonna have to be happy with it, not having it for about 20 years.
I'll take it. I'll take it for 30. How's that?
Exactly.
Well, knowing Annabelle, she'll be here longer than all of us, and we'll be laughing.
I hope so.
That I'm not seeing Annabelle click on here immediately and going, what the hell? About me dying for it. Like, what are you doing?
Do you want my opinion? Do you want my opinion or only Susan's?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, my opinion and Susan's happen to match. So it always does. But you have everything that you need for the time being to do what you have to do.
Absolutely.
When you want any other further gifts, they all will be within you. And mm-hmm. I totally see where Susan's going with this. The only way the gifts that you want will be elevated are when other people leave this earth to elevate them. But the problem is you really have all of it. You really, really
do. You can do that. Yeah, you can do that now. Basically, what you want to do is you just want to go and you just want to yank it right out of your mom.
Yeah.
She wouldn't care most days. She gets
just
so
tired. Just walk up to Annabelle and say, give it.
That's right. Just say you're channeling Susan. So the thing is, don't waste your money, Brenda, honestly, I because I wouldn't tell you if it was business that you were going, you know, because everybody needs, you know, like with me, if I had to go back to nursing in a hospital, I've got to go back and take a year course. I can do it while I'm working. And so then I would say to you, Brenda, anything that you want to fulfill whatever, you know, physical duties you have to do to make money, yes. But if it is metaphysical, honey, it is all there. If you've got to tap into it, and you need to know how to tap into it, and you already do. So, you know,
and
believe in yourself.
You're a little afraid of it. You know, I mean, you still, because you know, out of all of us, Brenda, you are the most gifted. I'm going to tell you right now, out of all of us.
So sweet.
And when you finally don't touch me. Go see.
Well, they're your family, Susan. If you want them to touch me, that's
the
fine.
Whole family. It's like it's Uncle Eddie and it's Grandma and it's like and it's like, but you are the most gifted out of all of us, and that's what you're a little afraid of is that you know, God, how crazy Susan is. It's like, look at my mother. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to be worse, you know? So, but
it's like you can't put your foot out.
You are better than all of us. And just,
except me.
Just a little faith to embrace it.
Except
and you know,
you know,
Annabelle has told me that. You know she has.
Yes. Yeah.
So you got to believe it, because part of the problem is, I'm really egotistical. I believe it, but I don't have it. But you have it, and you don't believe it. So if you put
What's that?
Now's not the time to be humble.
This is called, I'll tell you what it's called. I couldn't remember the name of it. I had to look it up. It's Access Bars or Ray Bar, RHEBARS. It's 32 points of like consciousness.
Mm-hmm. You have it. You can read it. I got to tell you something, and this is, and I got to butt in here. But whatever you need, Brenda, you can read about. You can Google it, access it for free, because you have the ability already. And what those courses do, and Susan and I were just talking about this morning, how we used to go to every course and read every book, and then Spirit, we were like, nah, because we'd go and we actually thought to ourselves, wow, like, what did we get? We got enlightened, but we already knew it, but it was kind of what? And we were always disappointed. And not disappointed in the teacher, but disappointed at we already, like, we wanted something we didn't
like,
realize we already
that.
Had.
Well, you know what? I went to one class, and the class I went to, I felt exactly like that. I'm like, if I do that, I can do that.
Go.
I do that now.
So don't pay the money, because you will be disappointed, not in the teacher, but in the fact that you're going to think that it was going to give you something that it isn't going to give you because you already have it. Just read about the next levels up, and you'll automatically understand. So you don't need a course that costs money is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah. Use the money. Go buy yourself something sexy and jump on Michael.
And don't go getting your ribs hurt like Kelly.
I know.
Okay,
my
don't
gosh.
Go into the battle that Kelly's going into when she goes out of the ethers here. So, you know, I just think that, you know, Brenda, you're so fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. I'd love to see you just completely
immerse yourself in what you're so good at, but it'll be in your own learning, not taking courses from others. They can't touch you. They can't teach you anything. They can only point you.
That's the absolute truth. Absolute.
Yeah. The direction is for you to reach. Yeah.
Well, thank you both. My gosh, that's you guys are so nice. Thank you.
We're trying. What are you talking about? It's like we're authentic, and we're telling you that, honey. I mean, I can feel it. I can sense it in you. And it's like, you know, once you open up to your gifts, it's like you blow us out of the water. You're gonna make us look like amateurs.
Yeah, well, you do already, but you just
don't make any nasty comment about that.
Who, me? I'm never nasty. I'm always nice. I'm the nice one.
You like
it?
Yes. Now, anyone that knows Bonnie, you know she just loves being an amateur. Yeah.
Oh, no. Please, prefer that word. No, but you know what, Brenda, it's so funny that Susan and I were just Susan, isn't that, well, we don't believe in coincidences, now I'm speaking for her, but, you know, we just talked about this, Brenda, that...
Did you really?
Yes.
On
yes,
the show? Because
yes.
I wasn't listening to the beginning of the show.
No, we did it before the show. You know us.
No,
we chat.
We always have a little chat before the show saying, it's like, you're going to behave, aren't you? Yes.
You're not going to say anything that you're going to regret now, are you? She says to me. And then I say to her, no, honey, now you know I wouldn't do that. So, no, we talked this about how we, when we first started out, because, you know, I was saying, you know, that we were saying that success looks different. Like what I consider success might be different than what spirit considers success for me. So we were talking about that, and then we were talking about how we used to read all the time, go to all these courses, and what did we really get out of them? We got the ability to know that we weren't going to go to anymore.
Yeah, you just remembered. That's what it is. Yeah. You just remembered because it's all there. And, you know, we never know what our higher self has agreed to of when that fully awakens. Because
you know what I heard when you just said that is it's coded inside of us. It's already coded in us.
Absolutely, it's an imprint.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so, whatever you want, and Susan, I'm sure I'll agree. If you're going to want to read more and a higher to teach yourself how to do these higher things, it's already in you. So the when you read it, you'll say, ah, I got it. You don't need a course to pay a lot of money. That's really for people who are just starting out on their, you know, on
mm-hmm.
their spiritual path, like we all have done. So save the money, go research what you want on the internet, because I feel like they're telling me that you can find the material like on the internet that you're looking for, and then you're going to go, ah, that's it, okay. So, yeah, I believe in reading about what you want to do, but I don't believe you need to pay for the course is what I'm hearing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both.
And Michael thanks you, too.
Yeah.
Is that Archangel Michael or what? Who are we talking about here? Are we talking about your dude
Her husband. She's going to take the money and she's going to go buy something sexy and give him one hell of a Christmas gift.
Well, if you do, let me know where you bought it. Because maybe that's what I need to do. Or send
yeah, you
it
can,
over
you,
here.
You can't do it on this show, but you can email us.
Okay, I'll let you know how it goes.
Well, listen, I have got to tell everybody, and everybody, we do have people still on the line, but I have a minute and 25 seconds. We have 90 seconds.
Wait,
please, everyone, you know.
Before she gets off.
Oh, go ahead. Go tell. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I said I want to get Brenda's number before she gets off, or I'll give her mine, because it's like I would like to talk to her after the show.
Brenda, go.
Oh, yeah, 330-209-7021.
And Susan, where does go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jim, do you hear that, all you heavy breathers out there?
Sorry, that was me. I got 330.
60 seconds.
209-7021.
Okay, give me the middle three again. I got 330 and a blank and 7021.
209.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Okay,
Susan, tell everybody how to get a hold of you. You do this for a living. So does Brenda. Brenda just gave her phone number.
Yeah.
Susan,
yes.
Go for it. You have 28 seconds.
Yeah. I'll make it real simple. Basically, if you want to get a hold of me for a reading or want to read about my book or anything else that I do, just Google me, Susan Z. Rich or White Wings Foundation, either one, and you'll find all the links there. My website is svrwhitewings.com, and you can email me from there, I'd love to hear.
We are off the air, but everybody, and Brenda, I don't know if you know this, but next week is our last show. I was thinking about bringing everybody on to, like, chat and giggle. And actually,
oh my God, you want to blow Blog Talk off the air?
I was gonna say I was gonna invite Jerry. I was gonna invite everybody to do an open mic.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So Cal, you're on the open mic now. You know you're part of the team here. But I want everybody to know, we still have people in chat, that next week we're going to blow you out of the water because we're going to do open mics. We got somebody new. We've got all kinds of things to end the season, at least Bonnie Albers on air for 2015. So please join us, because I don't know what we're going to do. And we are officially off. I love you, Brenda. I will fill you in on everything. Susan has great advice. She is the Queen Z with your – we have Queen Annabelle, and then we have Queen Susan, and then we have Queen Brenda. But I'm the princess, girls. Just remember that, Kelly.
No,
you're the warrior.
I thought I was just a court jester. It's like, you know, it's like I can entertain you all. It's okay.
No. You're the warrior. You got to protect us. So, okay. Yes, what were you saying, Susan?
By the way, I have given advice to Bonnie to stop telling everyone that she's the queen looking for her, Cleopatra looking for her servants, and start asking for to find her royal court, because I told her that most people are not interested in becoming her servant again.
That's so terrible. Where is my court? Okay, my royal court, please appear. All right,
yeah.
I have to end the show, but I hope everybody's loved it and had a good time, and we will see you back here next Monday. Bye, guys.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Love you all.